Good morning, friends. Today we're going to be starting a sermon series called God's Next Gift, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. As Jesus got closer and closer to the end of his life, he became more and more focused on telling his disciples what was going to happen and helping them to understand. You see, I can barely even grasp what it must have been like for the disciples to walk those 3 years with Jesus, to see what they saw, to go through what they went through, to experience it. But even with Jesus there, it was confusing and hard. They barely seemed to understand what Jesus was saying to them half the time. And in truth, they were having a hard time grasping what he was overall trying to get them to see. And so as we come to the moving toward the end of his life, Jesus is working to explain to them what's going to happen after he dies and rises again, and how they're going to live. What does it mean to operate? It's one thing when Jesus is standing beside you and saying, today we're going to go to Jericho, and we're going to do these things, and I want you to walk along with me. It's another thing when, having gone through that for 3 years with Jesus, he's gone. Now, they've had that experience. We, of course, haven't. We've never walked a day beside the physical Jesus on this earth. And so he wanted to explain to them that he understood how hard that transition was going to be, and that we human beings need more than that to help us in life. And so he explains that God is going to provide another gift for us, the Holy Spirit, who's going to be our guide and our help and our friend. And in John chapter 14, he begins to lay this out for them. Many of you know John chapter 14. It's got that famous passage in it in which he says, we oftentimes read it at funerals. In the King James, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. In other words, Jesus, in the beginning of John chapter 14, is saying, I'm leaving, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to return for you. Then he goes on to say that God is leaving us with another gift. Jesus is obviously God's gift, and he's going to leave us with another. And this is what it says in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. Now, we sang this because these are the guides that he gave to understand what God wants from us and how to live, and how to live a life of wholeness and beauty. He says after that, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The word advocate in the Greek here can mean a number of things. It can mean one who comes alongside. It can mean one who guides. It can mean a comforter. It can mean someone who literally advocates for you, who is standing there saying, this person needs this. The advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. We'll talk about that later. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Because and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. He's saying, I'm not going to just leave you. God has a different plan than that. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. So Jesus is explaining to us about God's larger plan. He sent his son not only to repair the relationship between us and God that happened because of sin, but also to teach us who God is and help us understand how to see the world the way that God does. As I said, it's hard enough with Jesus here saying these things, but he knew how hard it would be once he left. So he says he's asked the Father to provide another called the Holy Spirit who will be with us. Now, this time of year Tim invites me to confirmation class to talk to the eighth graders about their faith. And almost every year he's asked me to come in and talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We as Christians believe in what we call a triune God. The technical terminology is one God, three persons. The persons being the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I spend about a half an hour talking to them about it. And one of the things that we talk about is Jesus' baptism. In Jesus' baptism, we see the three persons of the Trinity. You probably know the story. Jesus has gone down to John the Baptist at the Jordan to be baptized. And he is taken into the Jordan River. And as he's baptized and comes up, the scripture says that the heavens open. And the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. So we have the Holy Spirit. And then a voice from heaven, which is the Father, says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So in this moment, we have a picture of the fullness of God in the Father from heaven speaking, declaring, "This is my Son on earth, Jesus, the Son of God, in flesh." And the Holy Spirit shown in the presence of a dove. All three persons of the Trinity present in this. And I talk to them about who the Trinity is and what it means that there are three persons in one of them. And I'm going to talk about this for just a second so that you understand the importance of what this is. And then we're going to see the gift that God has given to us in the Holy Spirit and what we should do about that. So what I share with them is that God is a mystery. But what we can grasp about that mystery, what Jesus has revealed to us about that mystery, is that God is a God of three persons, but one God. The easiest way to describe that is through a metaphor or an object lesson. And so I bring to them an egg, and I say, see, an egg has three parts. It's got the yolk, the white, and the shell, and it's all one egg, but it's got three parts to it, and without one of the parts, it wouldn't be an egg. But it's a whole leg together with those three parts. And then I talk about them as people. I say, look, you have a mind, and I invite them to think a thought. And you have your emotions, your heart. And I invite them to sense that. And then we have our bodies, right? And all of them are us. And if we were to lose the capability to think or the capability to feel, it would impact the usness of us. Right? And maybe you've known someone who's gone through some horrible accident in life that impaired their ability to think or to feel in some way, and it affected who you knew them to be. And so in that same way, those parts of us are all who we are, but together they make up us. In the same way, the scripture declares that we have a God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we often think of the Father. We have images of God in our head about like an old man in heaven with a long beard or some kind of image like that of the Father in heaven. And then, of course, the Son, Jesus, here on earth. Although, really, the Son is the eternal person of God who was there at the beginning, who came to earth and became human. And then we have the Holy Spirit, which is one of the hardest of all. And I had a kid ask me like 20 years ago if the Holy Spirit was like Casper the Ghost. And I chuckled, but the truth of the matter is it's hard to kind of picture. How do you give an image to the Holy Spirit? But God is spirit, and that's the point. God is spirit. That's what the scripture teaches. And so Jesus in this passage talks about leaving for us the Holy Spirit. And we want to understand why that is and why it's so important. The heart of it is that Jesus is leaving them and wants them to know that they're not going to be alone and that he's provided a guide, a helper, someone who's going to lead them. That's what he starts out with. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. This is another gift he's giving, and it's the gift of himself. God is giving the gift of, he gave us the gift of himself and his Son. And now he's giving the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's an advocate. one who will speak on our behalf to the Father, but also a comforter and a counselor and a friend who will never leave you. God is promising his Spirit to be with us in a way that will never leave us. He says he's the Holy Spirit, and part of his purpose is to lead us into all truth. It is God's way of guiding us in a world that's confusing and hard, of giving us God's perspective on things rather than our own. Because we human beings, we're finite, and we only see part of anything. Our experience is only a small piece of how we understand the world. And the way that we view things can only be captured by what we've seen and understand and experience, and that's finite. So he's provided us with the Holy Spirit to give us a God perspective and to help break through the limitations of our own humanity and our own experiences. And so he says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. It doesn't, as a general rule, people are only concerned about what they see and what they know. They're not asking God, help us to see the world as you see it. Help us to understand the world as you understand it. But if you do, you have the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. And Christ paved the way for that to happen. And that's the power of this passage. And really the beginning of what we can do about it. And so he says here that he's offering to us the Holy Spirit, who lives with us now, but will live in us later. And here's what he's saying. I'm going to offer the Holy Spirit to you to be a presence with you. And that's kind of a little bit how we think of God, kind of living among us, here around us in some sense. But here's what he's offering. If you will welcome God into your life, God is actually willing to be with you in a very personal way, to live within you is kind of the metaphor, to have that closeness that enables you to walk with God wherever you go, to have God with you wherever you go, to have God's help, God's strength, God's encouragement, God's power, and God's wisdom, if you open yourself up to it. And that's the power of what Jesus is offering to his disciples in this passage, which is what's so amazing. He's offering us the gift of himself to walk through life with, which is really one of the earliest images in Scripture. The image of God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden and through the Garden of Eden. Just doing life together, sharing and being a part of who each other is. And that is one of the most beautiful parts of life, isn't it? The way that we can connect and share life with the people around us. It's one of the gifts of God to us, that connection that allows us to know that we're not alone, that life can be with its joys and its sorrows and everything else. It can be shared with another person. This past week, I was sitting in Pastor Brenda's office, and it suddenly occurred to me that we had been doing work and ministry together for 3 years. I formally known Pastor Brenda for about 3.5 years. And once we actually met and began talking, it was amazing to me that we had not ever actually crossed paths, because we knew so many of the same people. We had so many of the same friends in life that I was astounded that we'd never actually met. But our meeting was different than so many other people that we meet, because I met Pastor Brenda in the context of pastors being examined for ordination, the process of being questioned and interviewed to be approved for ordination. So I was part of a group of 60 people that were given a packet about this thick with all kinds of personal information, questions answered, theology, psychological background. I was handed about 90 pages that were a synopsis of who Pastor Brenda was and what she believed, all in one moment, which is not normal. It's not normal. So I had the opportunity to read about who she was and her background and her past. You know, usually when you meet somebody for the first time, you sit down and say, so where are you from? Tell me about yourself. What are your hobbies? Tell me about your family. Tell me about some of your jobs, your experiences in life. And that's how we get to know each other. Instead, I was handed a 90-page report that shared all that with me before I ever even interviewed her and then later sat down on a personal level to have lunch with her while we were at that exam. But in the process of time, what you come to realize is that a stack of papers sharing information is not a connection. It's not a friendship. It's just information. And while I could read all about her, what brought life to our friendship and our working relationship together was actually talking and sharing and working side by side and getting to know her beyond what was written on a piece of paper. And the reason why God sent the Holy Spirit was so that we could get to know him. Walk with God, understand God, hear from God, experience life together beyond what was written on the page. So much of what's written about God, we can kind of grasp and work into our living into. But the Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift so that we could live into the day-to-day intimacy of actually interacting with God himself. Of knowing that when we pray, we have someone who's hearing us. That when we walk into a hard situation, we're not alone. That when we experience loss or fear, that God is immediately with us. To know that when we don't know what to do, God has placed a person of his being right with us. What Jesus is inviting the disciples to understand, though, is that while the Holy Spirit was laid out among us as a gift, we have the opportunity for him to be in us, to have that level of intimacy with God, to know that we can invite God into our lives. And so we have this image in several different places in Scripture. Like Jesus said, behold, and maybe you've seen the paintings of Jesus at a door. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door and let me in, I will come in and I will be with them. And that's really the constant image of an invitation from God. I'm offering myself in the person of my Son, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to you so that we can walk with you, beside you, and help you walk through life together. And there's something beautiful about sharing life with another. It's hard. There's a challenge to what it means to live life with another person. And those of you who have close friends, those of you who are married, those of you who understand what it's like to be in some form of community know that there are ups and downs, but the beauty of life is doing that together. And Jesus, when he came before his disciples in John chapter 14, was offering this invitation. I'm leaving you, and you will not see me for a long time, but I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit, who is willing to walk with you and in you and beside you every day, to coach you, to guide you, to comfort you, and to help you. And so today, I'm inviting you, as we move closer to Pentecost next Sunday, to consider inviting God into your life. Christ came to repair our relationship with God, broken by sin, so that we have the opportunity to actually have God walk with us everywhere, guide us and help us. It is the most beautiful thing he offered to us. And so I want to encourage you today to think about what it might mean to invite God's presence into your life. There are going to be moments where you might say, I'm not interested in that. You might wonder what God would say to you if God could speak to you. You might be afraid of that. But as we walk forward and understand the nature of the Holy Spirit and who God is offering to us in that, and the beauty of this passage and the other images that Luke has and that Paul has of the Holy Spirit, you will discover the sweetness of God, the beauty of God, the tenderness of God, and the power of God. Would you please pray with me now? Father, we have heard the words of Jesus saying to us that he is going to ask you to leave us another gift. You already offered your son to us, and now you're offering us another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be with us and to live with us. And we have experienced, so many of us, the gift of friendship, whether it be in a work relationship or in our neighborhood, and even through the gift of marriage, the bonds of friendship that happen there. But you have offered a kind of friendship with us as well, to walk with us and be with us. And you've invited us to literally ask you to come into our lives and to be a part of who we are and the walk that we have. Help us to seriously consider that, those of us that have not, and to know what a gift you offer to us. And help us in the coming weeks to understand what it means to have the Holy Spirit in our lives, how that can bless us and challenge us and even change us, and enable us to know that you have a heart that loves us, that cherishes us enough to come and to offer to be with us. We pray all this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen.